Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
We just formed a fucking wall.
O'Neal deep in the post. Lots of contact there. Oh, what a block by Wallace. What a jump ball.
Hastings down 4, 12-8, 7-38 to play the first. A burst from Rodney. Stuck into the rim. Count that baby in a foul.
Reggie inside for Andre. Oh. And a dynamite dunk.
Fans, welcome back to another edition of the Palace of Pistons podcast on the week of January 18th, 19th. I've gone at the entire day thinking that today is Monday. It's obviously not. It's Tuesday, January 19th. Thank you all for joining us once again. Very excited to talk Pistons basketball once again. And with me, as always, is Aaron Johnson. Aaron, how are you doing, buddy?
Doing pretty good, Mike. You know, always good to be with you and be able to talk about the Pistons and what's going on with them. So we got some interesting topics today that are more of opinionated stuff that is not necessarily exactly connected to the every game and everyday beings of the Pistons, but more so just kind of a general perspective on the team. So excited to kind of have these conversations and see where each of us lies within them.
Yes, and isn't it just a time for opinions and takes in a somewhat lost season? I mean, I guess every season is, no season's really lost. It just depends on what you take out of it. So we will go ahead and speed right into these topics here. The first one that we have is about Troy Weaver. You know, a lot's been talked about with Troy Weaver in terms of were the right moves made this past offseason. And I think that there's a pretty good there's a case to be made that some of his moves, at least initially, were not the best moves. We were very critical of Jeremy Grant and Mason Plumlee, but is Troy Weaver actually a genius?
I think when you look at a lot of his offseason moves, the individual production of these players, while it hasn't led to wins for the Detroit Pistons, has actually been very encouraging. Obviously, Jeremy Grant is the name that sticks out the most. He's averaging 25 points, six rebounds, 2.5 assists, a steal, over a block per game. You know, great shooting numbers, 39% from the 3-point line, 51% from inside the arc. I mean, those numbers exude greatness. They speak greatness. They talk about, or they show that he is playing like an all-star this year, which is maybe something that we talked about last week. So I don't want to stick too much onto just Jeremy Grant within this topic, because there's other guys that we can talk about that have proven their worth so far throughout this season. You look at a couple of the draft picks, obviously Killian Hayes going down with an injury. He's not been able to really show what he can fully bring to the table just yet, but Sadiq Bey and Isaiah Stewart have had productive rookie seasons. I think he got very aggressive, Weaver did, in the draft, going and making these moves and making these trades to acquire draft picks. And, you know, you trade a guy like Luke Kennard, who's been with the team for 3-4 seasons and was having good years while he was healthy. You go on and move him, and you add stuff to on top of Kennard to go and get a guy like Sadiq Bey. You know, it just shows he was very confident in the type of player that Bay is and what he would bring to the table for Detroit and how he could potentially fit into the core moving forward. And to his credit, Bay's come out and he's had a phenomenal rookie year so far. He's definitely shot in the ball well. He's shown he can score, he can rebound, he's a defender. So that looks like a piece for the Pistons moving forward. Isaiah Stewart, I know others and myself included considered him to be a stretch of a pick. And, you know, it's tough to take a center that early in the first round. You know, do you want to use your 16th pick on a guy that plays the least impactful position in the NBA currently? But he's come out and he's shown that he is just a ball of energy. He's contributed positively. Definitely there's been some growing pains, but he's shown that he knows how to play basketball and can help this team. And then you look at some of the other additions that, you know, weren't draft picks. Josh Jackson, who started to look better in Detroit's last game on Monday on Martin Luther King Day, even though before that he was looking, you know, he was struggling coming back off an injury, in which before that, before he got injured, he was playing phenomenal basketball, and he was looking like another steal of the offseason type of pickup by Troy Weaver. But he's playing good basketball, and when he's playing good basketball, that's another guy that you can add to that list of players that Troy Weaver has brought in that have performed well. I think, you know, Mason Plumlee deserves credit for doing what he has done. I think at times he tries to do too much, and other times he is forced to have to try to do too much. But he still brings a veteran, a capable player on both ends of the court to this team that sorely needs those type of players right now. You know, nothing really to write home about in terms of a guy like Jahlil Okafor or Frank Jackson, Rodney Magruder. Even DeLon Wright has been somewhat disappointing this year. The shooting numbers not there, under 40% from the floor, just 33% from the three-point line, not really making the impact that you would hope he would make, considering he's averaging 26 minutes per game and he's been starting for Detroit as of late. But, you know, I think you look down the roster and you look at all the new players that are on this team, even a guy like Wayne Ellington, who Troy Weaver decided to bring back to the franchise, has had his moments. And on Martin Luther King Day, he scored, I believe, 24 points. He stepped in and played a nice role when necessary. He's, you know, been a guy where he may not play, he may start and play 25 minutes. It just kind of depends on the game, the day for Detroit. So I think Weaver has shown he's made a lot of nice moves, and he can do a nice job evaluating talent. And now it's going to take, you know, probably another offseason or two to kind of fully see his vision for where he wants the Detroit Pistons to be while he's the general manager of this franchise.
So for most first-year GMs, and I think that this is the case for other sports as well, they're sort of determined by that first big draft pick they make. And obviously this one is, you know, it's Killian Hayes. And we're not going to get to see much of Killian Hayes. So does Troy Weaver get sort of a pass because of Killian's injury, or are we going to have some revisionist history? Like, if Hayes doesn't come out of this, you know, injury well, if he's not playing well, if he doesn't ever reach that full potential, are we going to have a little bit of revisionist history with Weaver and, you know, maybe say that he wasn't quite a genius, or is he sort of immune to that with the moves with Grant and Bay and Stewart, obviously, you know, playing well, and Mason Plumlee's had some moments lately?
I'll say that I am very confident that Killian Hayes will, whether it's this season or next season, return to the court and show that he is a very competent and capable NBA basketball player. So I would say that I kind of factored that into the talk about Troy Weaver, and that's because I'm very confident in Hayes myself. I was confident and how good of a player I believed he would be prior to Troy Weaver becoming the general manager of the Pistons, or prior to the Pistons drafting Killian Hayes. So I kind of just factored that in, that I liked that pick and I still think it's going to pan out. But if it doesn't, I certainly think, you know, it's also going to hinge on, in sort of that revisionist history terms, how long and how effective are some of these other players? You know, does Jeremy Grant's hot play last? Does that become normal for him? Does Josh Jackson continue to look good? You know, do Isaiah Stewart and Sadiq Bey continue to develop, or do they plateau? You know, I think you know, a general manager can only do so much in terms of finding the talent and putting the pieces together. And it's on the players after that, once they've kind of shown what they're capable of, to continue to develop and build consistency and improve. But right now, Weaver has done a very good job in terms of finding guys that look like they can be building pieces of a competing basketball team. But I certainly think if Hayes doesn't end up panning out, that's going to cast a shadow on the beginning of the rebuild for Detroit, and which would then also cast a shadow over Troy Weaver's tenure so far, just because of the importance that Hayes has to this franchise. They don't have a point guard of his potential on the team. You know, the draft coming up may be another opportunity to take a guard, but there are definitely some big name wings that are going to be available on the draft board where the Pistons will most likely be picking. So I certainly think there's a lot that lies on the shoulders of Hayes in terms of, you know, obviously building a career for himself, but also on the, you know, whether Troy Weaver has really done a good job. Because, yeah, that first round pick, that lottery pick is very important. The GM has to hit those. And, you know, Killian Hayes and his performance when he returns, whether it be this season or next, will certainly play a part in determining just how well Troy Weaver has done with the franchise.
So do we think that, because this is, again, this is going to be the question of the season, do we see the building blocks of whatever the next iteration of the Pistons is going to be? Do we think the foundation's been laid? Do we feel that with Bay and, you know, Stewart, whatever he may be, I'm actually not entirely sure exactly what Isaiah Stewart could be. I don't know if he's a career hustle guy off the bench, or if he's got a little extra juice in him. Do we think the foundation has been laid here in Detroit, that something else is happening that's going to lead to something bigger and better? For me, I don't think you can make that judgment until you see Hayes out on the court with the rest of these guys personally. But I think that there are some nice pieces that have been acquired. That's certainly prop up whatever that foundation is.
I think that I agree with you in the sense that I don't know if you can fully make that assumption or judgment until we see Hayes on the court. But I think Weaver is starting to lay the groundwork. And I think just kind of the process he took in the draft showed us that type of groundwork. He's drafting high IQ basketball players. He's drafting, and when he said this throughout the draft process, or he's drafting high quality, high character men, it's very evident that is truly the case. You look at Sadiq Bey, you look at Isaiah Stewart, you hear the way that they approach the game, how they approach life. You hear about the type of student, the type of scholar Sadiq Bey is. You hear about the questions that, you know, Blake Griffin and Dwayne Casey have talked about, the questions that, whether it be Sadiq Bey or Stewart have asked them in terms of defense or just something about basketball. And obviously we know that Killian Hayes has been a very much a gym rat, and especially in the beginning of the season when he was healthy, was all about watching film, learning from his mistakes, this and that. I think you kind of see the groundwork from that point of view, but in terms of in roster and skill set, I still think there's a ways to go, and that may take another draft and another offseason to really kind of understand, because right now it certainly feels like it's just kind of a hosh-posh of veterans and then a bunch of rookies really with this team right now. So I think it's going to take more time to really figure out the full plan for Troy Weaver.
Yeah, I think it's a wait and see approach, but there's some real positives that can be taken, because, you know, the difference when you're grading an NBA GM, and I hate all those, you know, post draft grades. Who on earth knows what these guys are going to turn out to be? I think that maybe we're a little bit harsh on Troy Weaver right out of the gate. I think we did like his draft a lot, and the offseason moves that accompany it were kind of meh. But I think that you know, an offseason can really be defined by those, you know, those second and third draft picks. You know, just to go back to maybe this is a bad example, but, you know, initially at the beginning, Kobe Altman giving up four picks, 4 seconds for Kevin Porter Jr., that looked like a you know, kind of a head scratcher because he, you know, he had some problems and currently still has some problems. But at, you know, at the time for that 1 year, that was a feeling of, wow, okay, that was a good move. I think you're seeing a similar, you know, hopefully it turns out better. You're seeing a similar type of deal with Sadiq Bey in particular, where those are the kind of moves that, you know, speed up a rebuild just a fraction faster. And, you know, I think it's exciting. I think that Troy Weaver is a good general manager. I think the free agent signings that he made certainly made a nice impact, but the guys like Stewart and Bey, you know, even just in a vacuum, taking out the Killian Hayes injury, those two moves are ones that set you up nicely that you don't really think about until another 2 years down the road when you're trying to put more pieces around, you know, Hayes or whoever. Maybe it's Cade Cunningham or Jalen Suggs this time. Those are the kind of players that you look at and think back and be like, wow, that was a pretty good draft pick. So I think it's solid. I don't think the Pistons fans should have any complaints right now about the returns for some of these moves. Maybe they're upset about the record, but guess what? As we said in that preview pod, if you were expecting the Pistons to win or at least be semi-competitive this year, you probably should have reevaluated those expectations.
Yeah, those weren't realistic at all. Knowing the likelihood and the talk of, you know, reshaping the franchise and tearing the roster down. But overall, I think right now Pistons fans should be happy with the job that Troy Weaver has done. Yes, you can be upset about trading Luke Kennard. Yes, you can be upset about not re-signing Christian Wood. But you're starting to see the groundwork and not all of them, but some of the guys and many of the most important guys like a Jeremy Grant, who you committed $20 million annually to, have panned out for Troy Weaver so far. And, you know, I think there needs to be a sense of trust and belief that he knows what he's doing.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, it's always, you know, kind of a fantasy when you get all those draft picks to hit. And speaking of fantasy, that is how you do a segue. Speaking of fantasy, and before we move on to our second topic of the pod, I wanted to tell everybody about our partner, Thrive Fantasy. Thrive Fantasy is a daily fantasy sports app for player props. From NBA to NFL and even the PGA, Thrive Fantasy has you covered with a wide variety of player prop bets for everybody. And you can use promo code PALACE, P-A-L-A-C-E, when you sign up today. You will receive an instant deposit match up to $50 on your first deposit of 20 or more. That is awesome. Download Thrive Fantasy on the App Store or Play Store, or by visiting their website, www.thrivefantasy.com. And again, that promo code for instant deposit match up to $50 on your first deposit of 20 or more is PALACE, P-A-L-A-C-E. Sign up and prop up today. Aaron, have you done any betting lately?
I have. Unfortunately, a couple of the contests that I've participated on Thrive Fantasy have not been canceled lately because of all of the games throughout the NBA that have been suspended and whatnot, but I still am enjoying it. I think it's a unique way to bet rather than, you know, maybe you would in a typical daily fantasy game like FanDuel or DraftKings. I think it's pretty unique, the player prop style that they use, so I'm a fan of it, and I would definitely recommend it. I think it's a fun way to gamble and a fun way to bet.
Yep, absolutely. And we certainly highly encourage all of you to give it a shot. If you are interested, that, again, the promo code is PALACE, P-A-L-A-C-E. Okay, let's go on to topic number two. And it's a topic that we talked about extensively previously. That would be Blake Griffin. Aaron, what are the Pistons going to do with Blake Griffin? He's still playing an obscene amount of minutes for my taste personally.
He is. And look, I think that there's a happy medium between the playing Blake Griffin 33 minutes a game and, you know, the opposite that the very extremist fans are coming at with, don't play him at all, just play Sekou and, you know, some other young player, you know, the 48 minutes at power forward. I think there's a happy medium that needs to be met. And that starts with limiting Blake Griffin. He still should be playing. I think it would be a bad look, and I don't think it's necessary that they would need to, you know, take him out, not play him at all. He is healthy and he is capable of playing basketball, but he needs to be in a lesser role. He needs to not be playing 33 minutes. He needs to be playing about 25 to 28 minutes. And, you know, more recently he's been playing more, it seems. So getting him out of 35 minutes per game and getting him closer to 25 to maybe 28, opening up just a couple more minutes for someone like Sekou Doumbouya, or sliding up Jeremy Grant so you can get Sadiq Bey in the game. Take some of the wear and tear off of Blake Griffin and get him off the court a little bit more, because that's something that, you know, is going to affect him long term, especially if he's trying to prolong his career as much as possible. It's not healthy for him to be playing 35 minutes a night, and it's not healthy for him to be the vocal point of the offense when he just clearly isn't at that level right now. I think Jeremy Grant's emergence has certainly taken the ball out of Griffin's hands more than it would have been had Grant not come out and performed this well so quickly. But still, Blake Griffin has to do too much. He's taking too many shots. He's third on the team in shots per game, just behind Grant and Derrick Rose. And you look at his field goal percentage, he's shooting under 40% from the floor. He's shooting 31% from the three-point line. This is not the Blake Griffin that has, you know, had a Hall of Fame-worthy career. He's not taking good shots. He is not running well. He just doesn't look nimble out there. And it would be best for the Pistons, it would be best for Blake Griffin if they took some of his minutes away, put him into a little bit of a less role, try to optimize him when he's out on the court. The offense doesn't need to run through him, but put him in situations where he is getting looks down low, he's getting open shots rather than contested isolations or late shot clock shots where the Pistons just throw him the ball. And it would probably help having Killian Hayes and having another point guard out there that is good at setting up teammates, but there has to be some changes in how Blake Griffin is being managed by the Pistons. And it's going to take other guys continuing to perform well and score the basketball to hopefully allow Dwayne Casey to realize that, well, we don't need that same Blake Griffin of 2017, 2018, or 2018, 2019. My years are all mixed up right now. But where Blake Griffin was, you know, an all-star leading the Pistons 27 points per game, they don't need that from him. And they need guys like Grant. They need guys like Josh Jackson to continue to score the basketball and be threats to the point where they don't have to run everything through Griffin. But getting Griffin coming off of screens down low, try to get him layups, getting him open three-pointers. I'm not saying you can't post him up every once in a while, but you just look at him try to post up nowadays and he's just not getting through anyone. He doesn't have that same strength in the sense of where he's not just able to back someone down. He's not just able to bully himself to the rim, even against smaller guys. You know, he was having trouble posting up Duncan Robinson against the Heat on Monday. So it's just not all there for Blake Griffin right now. It's important that the Pistons maximize him, and by maximizing him, they take away the ball from him and they take some minutes out of his per game basis.
Yeah. You know, the minutes thing, I have his game log pulled up here. His entire month of January. Refresh my memory. Didn't he look gimpy at the end of one of these recent games? Did he look gimpy against Milwaukee?
It was, well, it was actually against Miami that he bumped knees with Goran Dragic.
Miami. Oh, that's right. He bumped knees. He left that's right.
Gimpy, you know, limping and in pain. And, you know, we don't know what that effect will have on the Pistons and him and what his availability might be moving forward. But, you know, that's just another thing that you have to worry about. He continues to bite the injury bug, and it's not going well for Blake Griffin this year in really any sense of the imagination.
You know, I would really like to know, and I'll never actually know this, I would really like to know what Detroit wants to do. Or do they want him out there to showcase him? Do they want him out there because they think he'd be a positive influence on veterans? I think both of those are probably true, but let's just gander at the minutes. You know, the Pistons lost Monday, 113 to 107. He played 36 minutes. He was 2 of 8 from the floor, 5 points, 5 rebounds, an assist, 2 turnovers. 32 minutes against the Heat in the first game where they did win and won by 20. That was a bizarre game. 32 minutes against the Bucks, 33 minutes against Utah, 40 minutes in an overtime win over Phoenix, 40 minutes, 26 against the Bucks on the 6th of January, and then 29 minutes against Boston, which was that nail-biting loss. So that's a lot of minutes. Nowhere should Blake Griffin be playing 40 minutes in a game. I don't care if you're trying to win, and I know that, you know, when you go to overtime with Phoenix, maybe Dwayne Casey just had the, you know, the blood just coursing through his veins, and he thought, I'm going to win. We're just going to get a win. We haven't won in however many days. We're just going to get a win. And he plays him for 40 minutes. And he had 16 points, 12 boards, 5 assists. By all accounts, perfectly fine game. The minutes distribution is a little bit concerning to me. I'm looking at the preseason log, too, and I think that's more in line with what he needs to be at. 22 minutes, 23 minutes, 26 minutes, and 25. That was his distribution this preseason. And, you know, the stats are whatever from that because it's the preseason. But that's the minutes distribution I think you really need. If you want a team to trade for him, to have the audacity to give up an asset for Blake Griffin right now, playing him 35 minutes a game, that ain't going to do it. That's going to wear him out, and then you're going to be giving damaged asset to somebody, or you're just not going to be able to move him at all because he's going to be hurt. He's going to bang knees with somebody else, and he's going to be out. So if you want to actually move him, I think you need to stick to that 25-minute sort of, you know, probably not what you want time limit, and then see where you're at and see where he's at health-wise. I don't know how that they maximize him entirely. He's clearly a diminished asset at this point in some capacity, but he can be less of a diminished asset if you don't play him as much. I mean, he played 44 minutes in a loss to Cleveland.
I think
that is absurd.
It comes down to managing his minutes and what is the best course of action for him. What can you get him in a schedule where he's playing the first 6 minutes of the first quarter, he's playing the last 7 minutes of the second quarter, he then plays the first 5-6 minutes of the third quarter, and then again, if you want him out there to close, play him the last 7-8 minutes of the game, and play him in those kind of 6-minute bursts where he can go hard, and then he's going to get 10 minutes on the bench. And he's going to be able to rest up and go hard again. And is that how you maximize him? Because he can't play 40 minutes. He can't play 35, and he shouldn't really be playing 30. You need to get him to 25 minutes, top him out at 28. It's just far and away the most logical thing for the Pistons to do. And that's not even related to Sekou needing more minutes or someone else needing more minutes. That is just in terms, although that is a benefit of it, a side effect of it. The biggest thing is Blake should not be playing as much as he is right now. There's too much of a burden on him in that regard. And it's just not going well for him. And it doesn't look like it's going to get better.
You know, there needs to be a discussion at some point by people that make considerably more money than we do to talk and work in basketball. there needs to be a discussion of just a basic economics chart of what are you getting on a return, you know, almost per minute of Blake Griffin being on the court. Because at some point, you're going to start getting, you may be all, you know, might already be getting this severely diminished returns. And then what could somebody else on the court be providing, whether that be a young guy just getting his legs underneath him or somebody else coming in via trade and getting more minutes. I think there needs to be an honest discussion with the front office and the coaching staff about what can be done to still have him be an effective player on the court, but in a changed capacity or role. And maybe he's unwilling to do that, but there needs to be a discussion. Maybe they've already had one, but there needs to be another one. And do you think that this has any impact on another topic we covered several weeks back in Dwayne Casey, sort of going back to the vets when the going gets tough and just kind of letting them ride it out?
I think that's something that Dwayne Casey has relied on. And I've long been not a fan of just letting the vets ride it out. I think it hinders player development. I know Blake Griffin is one of those guys that this season has gone through the struggling, and you know, Dwayne Casey just keeps him out on that floor, doesn't take him out. But Griffin is at that point where he's not the player that you can just let stay out on the court and work through his struggles. When you're playing bad, he needs to be treated like the majority of other players in this league right now, and he has to go to the bench, and you know, someone else needs to have that opportunity to go in and contribute. When you have a guy like Griffin out there and he's shooting 2 of 8, you got to go to the bench. You got to give someone else an opportunity because you can't just ride the veterans, especially with what the Pistons are at as a franchise. They are rebuilding. This is not a competing team. This is a franchise that is looking towards the future, not the now. So that whole concept just really doesn't apply well with this team.
And those are moves that get you fired. You know, they just are. Those are moves that get you fired. And Troy Weaver, boy, he's got a quick trigger finger. I mean, I'm sure that Dwayne Casey and him have a good relationship, and Dwayne Casey is very well respected. But, you know, those are moves that, you know, could get you fired. And Troy has obviously put in place a foundation, as we talked about in our first topic, that, you know, this is how we want things to be run. These are the players I'm getting you. These are the players that you are going to have to work with. And, you know, those are moves that I think could put your job in jeopardy. If you are not playing the young guys, if you're going back to the vets and that's the crutch, you know, at some point Troy is going to hopefully say, hey, we're 5-19 or whatever, just throwing out any sort of record. We're 5-19. I want you to prioritize the young guys. And there's just a feeling sometimes that Dwayne Casey maybe won't do that. And I know that was, you know, to go back to the woeful Cavs the first year without Bron when he left for LA, that was a thing with Ty Lue, is Lue would go back to the vets because he felt more comfortable with them and he would sit the young guys down. And guess what? He was fired for many other reasons as well. But one of them was didn't feel comfortable playing those young guys. And that's something that Pistons fans will get a little bit tired of quickly, especially if the losing keeps happening. There's going to come a breaking point where it's just easier to just play the young guys, let them get time, and then see what happens after that and sit the vets down. Not Jeremy Grant, obviously. And speaking of one of those young guys, starting over a vet, Isaiah Stewart. Aaron, should Isaiah Stewart be starting over Mason Plumlee? And I still loathe Mason Plumlee.
You know, I'm all about the young guys getting minutes. I'm all about the young guys getting opportunities. But I think Mason Plumlee is playing well. I think he brings a value in that starting unit to where I think he belongs with the starters right now. I don't think that Isaiah Stewart has done enough to take that away from him. I think when you look at how well Plumlee has played, Stewart just hasn't done enough. And that's not a knock on Stewart. You know, this is a rookie. He's played 11 games. He is very early into his career, and he has done a lot of nice things. He's showing that he is going to rebound at an incredibly high level, averages over 3 offensive boards per game. In just 17 minutes per game, he's the top offensive rebounding rookie in the league, one of the best overall rebounding rookies in the league. But he still has a ways to go defensively. And that's something that it takes skill, it takes experience, but it also takes size that Stewart just doesn't really have in terms of length, which is a prolonging bigger picture issue that is going to eventually have to be talked about with Stewart moving forward. It's something that may limit him to his current role as a bench, a big energy big, but let's not take anything away from the season that Stewart has had so far. I don't think many were expecting him to come in and get minutes, but when Jahlil Okafor went down early in the year and Stewart immediately came in and immediately provided energy, a rebounding presence, an interior presence for Detroit, that's something that obviously didn't go unnoticed. It's something that Dwayne Casey was absolutely going to fall in love with, and Stewart has taken the opportunity and run with it. I think he's shown a lot of good things. Obviously, the rebounding stands out amongst all, but I think that the offensive game is growing for him. I think he's going to be able to spread the floor for Detroit. He's shown a shooting touch. He was hitting mid-range shots at Washington in his one season there. I think there's a three-point shot down the line for him. But that being said, Mason Plumlee deserves to be the starting center right now, and that is a job that is strictly for him to lose. I don't think Isaiah Stewart has earned that right yet. Maybe that's something that gets talked about down the line later in the season. But right now, it's a good thing for Detroit to have in terms of having two quality centers to take up those 48 minutes at the five spot.
What about over Jahlil Okafor?
Well, I think that Stewart should absolutely be the lock in the rotation over Okafor, which he seemingly has secured. I just don't think Okafor provides enough to take a young rookie that has shown obviously some high level qualities. I don't think Okafor brings enough to the table to take a guy like Stewart out and take away from his development. I don't think Okafor is, really a big picture player for this team. I think that's a guy that Detroit can move on from whenever they decide to. Okafor is just very one-dimensional, in which he is a, back to the basket interior scorer, and he's not going to defend well for you. He's not going to alter shots at the rim. And he's an average rebounder, as to where Stewart is obviously a very skilled rebounder, and you don't necessarily need him to be a scorer. And the Pistons don't need a ton of scoring at the center spot. That's just not how their offense operates. So I think Stewart certainly belongs in the rotation ahead of Jahlil Okafor.
I'm going to throw a curveball question at you. Is there a vet on this team that is actively harming one of those young guys in particular more? Because I saw a comment about DeLon Wright in our group chat. Is there a particular vet like a DeLon Wright or a Mason Plumlee who's actively harming the potential growth of one of these younger guys? We also had there was a Wayne Ellington discussion as well. if he's actively harming the growth of some of these young guys, whether it's B. Mikhailiuk or, Frank Jackson, Sabin Lee.
I would say.
Is there a particular vet? Yeah.
Well, I don't think it can be DeLon Wright because Killian Hayes is out right now. And I don't think Sabin Lee is someone that you know, deserves to be starting. You know, I could see giving him minutes, but I don't think it's as bad as, and this isn't, you know, the thing is Wayne Ellington has played well when he's had to play, and it kind of seems like he's either going to start for Detroit or he's not going to play at all. And again, he's played well, but him playing has definitely hurt Svi Mykhailiuk. It's definitely hurt Sadiq Bey. You know, to be able to have one of those guys starting, you know, ideally you have a guy like Mykhailiuk who could theoretically play the role of Ellington. He's a guy that shoots and, you know, is primarily a three-point shooter, is a off the catch, on the move shooter, the way that Ellington likes to play and does play. Mykhailiuk is kind of that from that same ilk. But he takes up, you know, about 20 minutes a game when he plays. And that certainly cuts into Mykhailiuk minutes. It certainly cuts into Sadiq Bey minutes, two guys that can take up minutes on the wing. But I don't know if it's actively, you know, really hurting. I think it certainly hurts a little bit, but Casey has been able to find ways to get Bey and Mykhailiuk minutes. And, you know, if he ended up cutting Ellington's minutes, I don't think that would be a bad thing at all. I think Detroit has enough veterans playing in DeLon Wright, Blake Griffin, Mason Plumlee, Jeremy Grant, Derrick Rose. Now, I think you can survive cutting Ellington's minutes and giving those to Sadiq Bey and Svi Mykhailiuk and, you know, continuing to allow for their development. Although the more I watch Svi Mykhailiuk, the more I see him as really just a role player. He's really just a shooter right now. And maybe he proves me wrong, but so far this year, that's really just been the case. So, you know, development isn't the most important thing with him. I think you can kind of see his career path pretty clearly.
Yeah, I think I would agree. I just wanted to ask because I saw some discourse about DeLon Wright, and I saw some discourse about Wayne Ellington, and thought, you know, we've talked crap about a lot of, you know, the vets and the signings from Troy Weaver. Which one's actively harming, you know, a young guy the most? So, you know, I'm just glad that we didn't have a, you know, a Sekou Doumbouya thing with Blake Griffin and Jeremy Grant, although I'm sure that there's plenty of people, plenty of Pistons fans who would be more than happy to make that argument. Aaron, anything else as we as we wrap up this pod? It's like we said last week, the doldrums of January.
You know, I think that what's going on with the Pistons right now, and what I'll end this show with, is that this is a franchise in the very beginning stages of a rebuild, a reshaping. You see it with obviously a new general manager. You see it with half the roster, if not, you know, it was probably more than half the roster, you know, being stripped down and new guys taking their place. This is a process. We're starting to see the developments and what this franchise is going to look like down the line. Jeremy Grant, Isaiah Stewart, Sadiq Bey. Times are changing for the Pistons. The new guys are coming in and replacing the old guys like a Blake Griffin. This is a new, it's kind of cliche because it's always kind of a new era when you start a rebuild, but this really is a new era of Detroit Piston basketball. So I think we're seeing some nice things, some promising things. And it's something that I'm interested in watching. Maybe not watching the Pistons every night is very fun, but watching how this franchise shapes itself has certainly been interesting. And it's interesting to start to see the philosophy of Troy Weaver play out.
Well, if there's one quote to take away from this podcast, it's that watching the Pistons isn't very fun. And with that, we thank you for joining us. For another edition of the Palace of Pistons podcast. Plenty more Pistons basketball coming down the pipe. And guess what? We will be here to talk about all of it, the good and probably more of the bad. So for Aaron Johnson, I am Mike Anguilano. Thank you very much for joining us once again, as my voice decides to die on me at the very last moment, for joining us. And we will see you next time.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.